Carly.
Hey, Maddie.
What's going on, girl?
Oh, you know, just sitting here with you and loving my life.
Holy shit.
Did you like that?
I fucking loved that.
I stared into your eyes while you, I did it.
Her arm was lifted. It was gorgeous. I feel very loved.
You should.
I do.
Okay.
Welcome to Teenage Dirtbags.
Welcome, everybody.
I'm Maddie.
I'm Carly.
What's going on? What's your update? You got any updates?
Well, I'm hoping to get a dog.
That's true. That's a big update for both of us, technically.
Yeah, you'll be living with it.
I'll be living with it.
Yeah. So fingers crossed about that.
Yeah.
I also am working on a new Christmas movie that will be out this Christmas, 2019.
Are you allowed to say anything about it?
No. But that's all I can say.
Okay, that's a lot of information.
Yeah. That's what about good. You? What's going on, girl?
Well, I went to the dentist today. My mouth is still a little bit sore.
From that fluoride,
From that fluoride and from the, like, really digging into my gums. But no cavities, so I'm happy. Mm-hmm. What else do I have to report? I don't really have much else. I wish I could say, right now I'm off. We're on a hiatus, a filming hiatus. So... I don't think I've mentioned that yet.
I don't think so.
Really? Because I've said I work in film and I said I work on Suits, but we're on a hiatus at the moment.
Which is so wicked for me because I get to wake up in the morning and then go hang out with Maddie, and all we do is we just talk about the podcast. We watch Grey's Anatomy. Sometimes she convinces me to work out.
Yeah, it's great. It's actually really great. I mean, it's weird because I don't necessarily feel productive every day.
Yeah.
Which is hard for me, but...
Yeah.
That's okay because we're, thank Christ, we have this going, so this makes me happy. So
yeah,
in the end, I'm very happy.
Great.
With this hiatus, thanks to you.
Oh, I've just enjoyed your presence.
Mm-hmm. This week we watched Swim Fan.
Yeah.
Do you want us to tell your little timbits?
I would love to give my little timbits to everyone. It premiered September 6th, 2002. It was rated PG-13. It was directed by John Polson, written by Charles F. Bull and Philip Schneider, and it's starring Jesse Bradford, Erica Christensen, and Sherry Appleby. Would you like to read the log line?
I would. Do you understand how much I would love to do that?
Okay.
The log line is, a high school senior with a promising swimming career has a one-night stand with serious consequences. So I'm going to do my normal thing that I always do, where I'm just going to go into the log line a little bit more detail, just really quickly for those who have not seen it. So the general idea is Jesse Bradford plays a man named Ben, and Erica Christensen plays the new girl named Madison. So I'm going to go by their character names. Ben is the, like, star athlete at the school. He's a swimmer. He has a girlfriend named Amy. They are in love and so happy. Madison starts the school and she immediately, it's, I guess, a little unclear on whether she knew him before or not, but anyway, she comes to school, she becomes infatuated with him to a unhealthy level, and starts stalking him and making inappropriate advances toward him.
Yeah.
And then things get a little dangerous.
Oh, do they ever.
So that's basically the gist. Have you seen this movie before?
I have. I saw it when I was either 12 or 13.
So you saw it early on when it came out.
Yeah. As you know, I was not very sheltered. My parents let me watch basically anything I wanted to. So, yeah, I saw all of these kind of creepy movies pretty early on in my life.
This one's not only creepy, but it's pretty sexy.
Very sexy, yeah.
There's sex scenes. I mean, you don't see the P and the V or anything, but you...
There is...
Sorry, Mom and Dad. I'm just being obnoxious.
There's one sex scene. It's pretty hot and heavy.
Yeah.
She says something pretty dirty to him.
But you were 12-year-old Carly, just...
Yeah, like, I was not fazed very much by sex scenes. Nor was I very fazed by violence, which is kind of concerning. Maybe I'm a sociopath.
Hey, this is the podcast episode, especially, where we realize Carly's a psychopath.
Well, actually, we do get into some stuff that I relate to this stalker girl about.
Oh, excellent.
But
can't
we'll
wait.
We'll get there.
All right.
What's your relationship to this movie?
This movie I've definitely seen many times before. I can't pinpoint when it was. I'm sure I saw it early on, but I'm not sure. I would have been 13 when it came out. I'm not entirely sure I saw it then. Maybe. But anyway, I've for sure seen it since. I have the DVD. In fact, that's how we watched it today, on the DVD. Yeah. Like 90-year-old women.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, I have seen it within the past 5 years again. I love rewatching movies to an unhealthy amount. I like rewatching movies.
Yeah.
Till it just hits me right in the face until I can't stand it anymore.
Right.
And this is getting close. This one's getting close to that point. I've seen this movie many times, is where right. I'm going.
So it's like, is it not that enjoyable for you when you've seen it so many times?
It still is, but I could tell, like, right now, if I were to watch it again in a short amount of time,
yeah,
I would then I'd be going downhill.
Right.
But I'm still at a good point, but I can just tell it's getting
right
close.
That's fair.
But I do love this movie. I mean, I've seen it a million times, like I've said.
My first note is just that I always want to do shout outs to Grey's Anatomy alumni
mm-hmm.
in any movie we watch. So this mm-hmm. in this movie, Ellis Gray plays Ben's mom.
She does. In fact, as I think we've mentioned, I'm watching Grey's Anatomy for the first time. Carly is rewatching it with me as we live together, and it's wonderful.
Yeah.
And Carly exclaimed. In fact, we both exclaimed when yes. she walked on screen. We yes. were very excited.
Yeah.
It was pretty cool. And there's some Parenthood people, which made me very happy. Erica Christensen and Jason Ritter.
Yeah. Which I just think is funny that he always plays the same character. He's always just the nicest guy in the world.
Yeah, I'm okay with it, though. I'm fine
with it. No, I'm fine with it. It's just like, I think he's just playing himself in every role.
Which makes me happy. You know what? If you're the nicest guy, then you should just be the nicest guy.
I've seen him in interviews, and truly, he seems like the nicest guy.
I think he's just the nicest guy. Jason Ritter.
The nicest guy.
We have a problem.
Yes, we do.
My first note is about Erica Christensen's character name. Her character name is Madison.
This.
We might have smoked a huge bowl. Just kidding. We did not. Just kidding. We're not. Hi. God, it's fine.
People are so judgmental. Get off our backs.
420, bro.
420 blazing.
Okay. Jesus Christ.
Okay.
Anyway, her name is Madison in the movie. My name is Madeline. The story I want to tell really quick is every single time I go by Maddie most often, but on all my official documents it says Madeline. But in high school, it said Maddie on all the attendance lists, blah, blah, blah. And often to this day, people will say, oh, Maddie, what's it short for? Madison? And I have to go, nope, it's for Madeline. And they go, oh, that's nice, great, whatever. But my story in particular is I had a teacher in grade 12 named Mrs. Diamond. And when we first started that semester or whatever, as normal, I said, hi, I'm Maddie, or whatever. She did the attendance. Oh, is that short for Madison?
Mm-hmm.
I said, no, it is short for Madeline. And she went, oh, well, I like Madison better.
That's rude.
But I'm, you know what? I'm okay with it. And she called me Madison the entire year. And I was fine with it. In fact, I mean, I do like the name Madison, so it's fine. But it was just funny because she just would make a point of saying my name every class to be like, Madison. And people would always correct her. And I always had to be like, no, she's decided this is her thing. But she was okay. She was a really good teacher. She's one of those ones who was like strict and fair and really good. And she was like kind of funny, but not and she was intentionally funny, but it was like a dry humor.
Right.
So I was fine with it. But
it's funny because like most teachers, like at the beginning of the school year, they'll be like, okay, I'm going to call out everyone's name and let me know how you'd right. like your name to be said. Like if I want to be called Carr.
Right.
But for her, she's like, nope.
I've decided.
I like Madison more. Yeah.
It was hilarious. And she said that. She said, I like Madison better than Madeline. So no. I'm calling you that. I said,
I actually disagree. Do you remember when we were in New York and we were walking through Central Park and I asked you, do you like that your name's Madeline and not Madison?
I do remember you asking me that.
What a pleasant moment. And you said, I like it.
We've had a lot of pleasant moments together, I have to say.
Yeah.
I really like it.
I was really happy for you that you liked your name.
Thank you. I think it sounds nice. I like it.
Sometimes I call you Madison, but you don't seem to care.
I don't. I really don't care. People call me, Kirsty calls me Maggle.
Oh, I like
that's
that.
A whole long story, though. But
like Bagel.
Kind of, yeah. And I really do like bagels, so it's great.
Perfect.
Yeah. But anyway, the point is that Madison, every single time I see the name Madison, whether it's in a movie or a TV show or on the street or whatever,
mm-hmm.
makes me think of Mrs. Diamond every single time. So, Mrs. Diamond, I hope you're doing well.
How many people in your life have come up to you and said, oh, Madeline, like the books?
Countless.
400.
420. 420 blaze it.
420 plays it. You just have like a book that has ticks of every time someone's asking.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's actually my thing. I shouldn't really say this, but so when I was younger, the Madeline books, which is the French little orphan girl who has red hair and she wears a yellow hat. My parents bought me all the dolls. They bought me all the books, all the movies, blah, blah, blah. I loved it when the movie came out, when the live action movie came out, like whatever year. I was so excited. And now I kind of live that on because whenever my friends or someone I know has a baby, I get them a Madeline book as a baby gift. It's kind of like my little thing.
Nice. Because,
you know, Madeline. But anyway.
Okay. Yeah. That's a nice
So thing. I do know the Madeline, and everyone fucking called me that when I was younger. They'd go, what's your name? Madeline? And they'd sing the song, and I was like, yeah, that's great. I love that. Thank you.
I don't know much about Madeline. All I remember is that in the movie, Frances McDormand is the head nun.
I have literally not seen it since I was 12.
Yeah, she is.
It's great.
Yeah. Good for Frances.
She's really gone up since then.
Okay, so let's talk about the scene where we meet Madison.
Let's talk about it.
First of all, the first time we see her, she's putting on some lip chap.
And I commented, look at how good she's doing that.
As opposed to someone who doesn't know how to put on. Well, the reason I say
this, and this is something I'm going to fucking say every goddamn episode, is I think I don't want to say every, but more often than not, I'm obsessed with the lead woman in these movies. I think they're so amazing. Mm-hmm. And Erica Christensen is no different. And I have such a huge crush on her. I think she's absolutely amazing in everything she does. Mm-hmm. So the second we see her, I don't even think we see her face. Like, we just see the bottom half of her face.
We just see her lips.
Yeah. And you know it's her because she's got a very distinctive face and everything. Yeah. And I'm not fucking dumb. But anyway. So she's putting lip chap on or whatever it is, lip balm. And I was just like, she's perfect. I love her so much.
So she comes down the hallway and...
immediately seductive, but anyway.
She's very seductive. Mm-hmm. And she can't open her locker. So she asks Ben, who happens to be in the hallway.
Just by himself, by the way.
Yeah, they're the only two people in the hallway.
Which is so weird, but
she's like, I can't open my locker. Can you help me?
Excuse me, sir. Sir.
Which is like confusing to me because why wouldn't you just go ask like someone in the office? Why are you asking a student to open your locker?
I would do the exact same thing. However, and this is something I quickly mentioned right when I was saying the log line and the description of the movie, I'm a little doubtful of myself, but I think, spoiler alert, she knows. I think she comes to that school because of him.
I didn't know that.
Because she's got a whole box of everything he's ever done.
But I thought that was since meeting him.
Anyway,
but then again, That's
a lot of stuff.
That's a lot of stuff to have in 8 days.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, you're right.
So basically, I think, and this gets to the end of the movie, but whatever, we'll obviously get more into detail later. But I think that she came to this school with the knowledge of him already. And she went there to seduce him.
Okay, well, we need to get into the psychology of that in a moment.
Yes. So she asks him to help with the locker, kick it in, blah, blah, blah.
He goes, I can open the locker if you have a bobby pin. She pulls out this hideous thing from her hair.
Which, I disagree with you. I would have worn that shit in high school, junior high school, elementary school, et cetera, et cetera. It's a little bobby pin that's got a music note on it, which is a backstory of her music obsession. Because she plays the cello. And she's very talented musically. And she talks later about how she gets elevated by music and she's like obsessed with it and stuff. So of course she's got a bobby pin with a music note on it, which is such a perfect hair accessory for 2002 as far as I'm concerned. I realize you don't like it now, but in high school or junior high, that would have been my motherfucking jam. If it existed at the time, I would have had a hair clip with a camera on it. Are you kidding? You don't think so? I would have for sure. If I had access to that, I would have.
Oh, sorry. I thought you meant like a functioning camera. That you're just like videotaping like the top, the perspective of the top of your head.
Oh my God. No! I just meant like a goddamn. You think her music note's real? You think it plays music? Jesus. I meant the.
You like would buy that though. You would buy a Brett that has like a GoPro on it.
Fuck yeah. Are you kidding? I probably have that now. Anyway, but you didn't have shit like that, eh? For your hair?
I mean, I wore Bretts and all that stuff for like my younger days, but when I was in high school. Oh man,
this is so perfect.
I wasn't wearing these like hideous flowery.
Are you kidding me? Early millennium, look at a 17 magazine. And right. every single person there has butterfly clips and goddamn berets with little pixies on them and stuff.
But I just like that she has this one
that's true.
Clip that's holding her. Like, her hair is thick.
Yeah.
That is a mop on her head.
Yeah, she's got quite a mop. Also, conveniently, like, he could have said, I just need a knife. And she would have been like, here's a knife. Like, it conveniently, the one thing he needed, she has one of.
So he uses it. He unlocks her locker. And then he's, like, handing it back to her. And then she says, keep it.
For the next time. She goes, you never know if I need another saving or something like that. Or whatever the fuck she says. And she is...
So right away.
He does a little Jesse Bradford smirk. I'm sorry, I just burped into the mic real quick. He does a little Jesse Bradford smirk. But we have also at this point already been told that he has a girlfriend. It has been pointed out that he has a girlfriend at this point. So it's interesting to see his little smirk. But anyway, he's a high school boy, so shocking.
It's just so weird to tell someone to keep this bobby pin. Like, what's he going to do with it?
Which clearly means the world to her. Because she's like,
yeah.
Anyway, whatever. Point is.
She was, right away, we understand that she's creepy.
Oh, yeah. That's established damn fast.
So then we go see Ben at his job, his part-time high school job, which is him giving old people medication in a hospital, which is...
But his mom works there, that's why.
Yeah, but you need, like, serious education to be able to give someone medication. He's just a 17-year-old boy giving people, like, their heart medication and everything.
However, I have to argue this really quick. I agree with you.
Yeah.
I just had a flashback to an episode of Saved by the Bell where they do the same thing. And if anything, Saved by the Bell is the most realistic and perfect thing in the world. So
that's just helping my point.
Right, okay, fine. But yeah, you're right. That is really fucking weird. I have a note about his job too.
Okay.
So he's giving the medicine to these people, as you said. And there's this one dude, this one patient that's like clearly this snarky old man that he has like some sort of relationship, friendship with, right? So he comes in. And the guy, he's giving the guy his medicine. He's like 100 years old or whatever. And the guy's like, tell me something good. Tell me what's going on. And Ben says, oh, so he's a swimmer, right? He's trying to get into college to be a swimmer.
Yeah.
And so he says, the scouts are coming next week. And this old man goes, is it the Girl Scouts? And like does this like pervy laugh. Yeah. And at the time, like when I first, the first few times I saw this, I was like, ha, what a little perv. And then I was like, oh my God, Girl Scouts are 8.
Yeah. Well, yeah,
and he's like, tell me it's the Girl Scout. I'm like, I suddenly was like, oh my God, this man is a pedophile.
I know. It's funny that in movies, old pervy men are seen as like endearing. Like, oh, you Grandpa Joe.
Yeah.
But like, no, you're being an actual pervert. And then Ben hands him a stack of nudie cards. Like playing cards where they have nude girls on them.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, got these for you. And he's like, oh, yeah. And he starts like looking at the cards. I'm like, this man is disgusting.
And this Ben is just enabling his habits.
I know.
Though, I mean, he's an old man. How could you not?
At one point, he's just like, give me some Viagra.
Does he say that? I didn't even notice that. Like, oh, Christ almighty.
Who is that for? You're like bedridden.
Okay, so... Amy is his girlfriend. Amy and Ben are girlfriend and boyfriend. They're the dream team couple at this school. And I think it's interesting because this happens in every movie ever or TV show or anything where there's people who are seniors in high school and they're planning and they're in a relationship and they're planning to go to school. I don't know if this happens in real life. I'm sure I'm just stupid and oblivious to this. But the fact that they're having this conversation. She's like, I will not go to Princeton or whatever it is. I forget what she says.
Yeah.
Something big. And she's like, and I'll go to
Berkeley.
It was Stanford and Berkeley.
Yeah.
So she's like, I don't remember which one was which, but she's like, I won't go to Stanford so I can go to Berkeley with you and we can live together.
He's going to Stanford.
Oh, Christ. I fucked it up. But anyway, she's saying that she will not go to the school she wants to go to. So she'll go to the one that he is going to so they can live together. I'm sure people did this, I guess, in real life. If I had a daughter who was going to school and they were going to go to university next year and they were like, Mom, I don't want to go to Queens. I want to go to this community college because my boyfriend Ben's going. I'd be like, bitch, okay. No.
Well, first of all, Berkeley is a really good school.
Okay, whatever.
So clearly this girl has options. So whether you're going to Yale, Harvard, or freaking Berkeley, she's fine. She's going to do fine. She's not going to a community college.
Not that there's anything wrong with community college.
Nothing's wrong with community college, but But what I'm saying is,
we're having an issue tonight.
I know. Yeah, I don't think it's a big deal at all, because if she's going to his school to be with him, I'd be like, okay, chill out. You're 18.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know what's going to happen with your relationship. But mm-hmm. the fact that they're going to be going to two different schools.
Not to mention he cheats on her right away, spoiler alert, but anyway.
Anyways, I don't think that's that crazy that she's like, yeah, I want to be closer to you.
No, it's not that I don't think that it's crazy. It's just that it happens in every high school movie.
I see.
Or in every high school show where there's a high school student. Yeah. Or whatever. It's not so much this one in particular, because you're right. She does have the option between Berkeley and Stanford. Fine.
Yeah.
But, it's more of in general, like how that, I'm not stupid. I understand that people want to be with each other and stuff, but it just blows my mind that it's like, I guess this one's not a very good example because they're both very good schools, but in scenarios where it's not that case, yeah. where they go to college. anyway, blah, blah, blah.
I think boring. The funniest part of these teen movies is that the characters are always getting into every single elite school there
is.
It
really is. Every single movie we've watched, they're like, Dad, I can't decide between Yale and Harvard.
And he's like, doesn't matter because you're going to work at my auto shop at the end anyway.
Oh, Christ almighty. You're so right.
Yeah.
So then, okay. It's just insane. I don't know anyone in my school who went to Ivy League.
So then we go to Ben, almost... He sees a girl on the sidewalk that looks exactly like Madison, and he's looking at her, and then he realizes it's not her, but he's driving.
He's driving, yeah.
He's driving in his truck at this point. So he's doing a double take of this girl on the sidewalk, realizes it's not Madison, and then what do you know? She almost hits Erica Christensen, who plays Madison. She hops in his truck and drops... Why are you looking at
I'm so sorry. Like I'm that? Staring at Carly because... I'm watching her try to get through the sentence. It's hilarious.
I know, it's making me uncomfortable. So then she gets in his truck and he drops her off at home, where she lives in this insane mansion house with her cousin, who's a real scary man. And
right.
we don't really know why she's not living with her parents.
No, I think they mention it. I think they do.
They say
though.
They're in Europe, but what does that even mean?
Anyway, I mean, so basically she moved from fuck tuck wherever and move to this place, and she's staying with her cousin and aunt and uncle or whatever the fuck in this big giant mansion. Yeah, it's weird. And also, as a side note, I just realized she traveled with her cello, which is a weird thing to travel with, but anyway.
I have <haven't>... weird.
Okay, it's a fucking expensive thing to travel with, but well, okay,
yeah, but you're not gonna leave it behind.
I have a note about hair.
Her hair,
just yeah.
Okay,
her hair. Her hair, but hair in general too, kind of.
Okay.
So her hair, this is 2002. Her hair is gorgeous, but curly.
Yeah. Blonde locks.
Blonde, curly, curly, curly locks. Wavy and gorgeous, and I'm so angry about it. But in high school, this would not have been all the rage. I don't know about in Peterborough, but in Toronto, specifically my school, it was not really a thing to have curly hair. People didn't want curly hair. I disagreed with this. I wish I had curly hair. Anyway, we always straightened our hair.
Yeah, of course.
But this was before straightening irons. I'm sure those existed. I'm sure like hair people had straightening irons,
yeah,
and curling irons and stuff. But we did not. It was not a common occurrence in a household to have that.
Yeah.
So we had to iron our hair, like with a fucking iron.
Yeah.
Do you remember doing that?
I didn't do it, but yeah.
So I just remember I have a clear image because we also all had bangs, right?
Yeah.
So you had to literally, I've never ironed a thing in my life.
Yeah.
I've never ironed a piece of clothing in my life, with which Michael, my boyfriend, likes to remind me of constantly because he works in a real office where he has to iron shit. But anyway, yeah. I've never ironed stuff in my life. And I had to set up the ironing board. I like would put a day's work into it, putting together the ironing board, getting the iron ready, and ironing my fucking hair with an iron.
That's so bad.
Like you'd be on your knees, like with your head against the ironing table. I'm sure somewhere I have a picture of this. I'd love to find it. And you're laying your hair flat, and often you'd get a friend to help or something, but sometimes you're by yourself.
Yeah.
So you're just going to iron your head. By yourself. So we had, and I remember specifically so many girls would have giant burns across their fucking foreheads because we would try to iron our
really?
Bangs. Yes. We would, you try to iron your bangs. And of course your bangs are like what? 4 inches, 3 inches.
Yeah.
And you've got your head against the ironing board and you're ironing your face, literally your her face. Anyway, just seeing her gorgeous curly hair like triggered me because there are so many girls in my school who had gorgeous curly hair, and they probably don't anymore because we fucking burned it straight. Anyway, it was just so funny. That's literally my note.
That is insanity. I never did that. I only used a hair straightener, but I didn't get a hair straightener until like grade 11. So like in grade 9 and 10, I just put my hair up in a freaking ponytail like it is right now and like look
like a... Well, that's what I mean. Like we didn't have... I mean, I must have gotten a hair straightener in like maybe grade 12. Anyway, it was just funny. That's all.
Okay, so then what do we got? Now, she officially likes him. It takes 2 seconds for her to like him. He knows he loves his girlfriend, but he is definitely like attracted to her.
She has a certain charm, a certain seduction. And he's tripping up his words a lot around her. And I have a quick, I have another quick story because this literally happened to me today. As he's dropping her off at home, she's like, oh, you're so handy. Like, thank you for doing the locker and saving me and blah, 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 blah. And he's like, oh, you know, I'm really handy all over the place or something, which is clearly, as soon as she gets out and he's like, oh my God, what a fucking idiot. Why'd I say that?
Yeah.
And which is clearly an accidentally sexual thing that he didn't mean to say. Mm-hmm. And this happened to me today.
What'd you say?
I just have to say, so I was at the dentist, as I mentioned.
Uh-oh.
And I had to get my x-rays done. And they put that like big, heavy kind of blanket on you.
Yeah.
To do x-rays. I don't know what the fucking word is. But anyway, so the hygienist was someone I hadn't met before, and she was so sweet. She was really, really funny, and she's like making little comments as she's doing things, and she puts it on and she goes, oh, sorry, I hope it's not choking you. And I went, that's okay, I'm used to it. And then I was like, I mean, I didn't mean it like that. I just meant like I'm fine with uncomfortable straight, like it's fine. And I just fucking wanted to kick myself in the face. And so literally when he said that's in the movie, I was like, oh, look at that. I have a fucking story about that too.
You're used to being choked.
Which, that's not accurate. That's not accurate. I didn't mean that.
I wouldn't know.
Anyway, we can continue now. So he drops her off at home, blah, blah, blah. He's clearly got this weird... Is this the part where... When did they go to the diner together?
So she forgets her notebook in his truck.
Right. So she forgets her little music notebook in his car. He calls her or something to be like...
He just shows up at her house. And then her cousin answers the door and is like, oh, I'll take that to her. And then she appears on the balcony like a creeper. And she's Christopher! Christopher, why didn't you tell me I had a guest?
Oh, that's right. Oh, fuck.
And then she walks out of the front door and stands with her back against Ben and is like, oh, I just want to disappear sometimes.
It's like, it's a very, she's in the foreground of the shot.
Yeah.
And it's very, it looks nice. It's a nice shot. And I didn't even really, you know, I was like, okay, cool, nice shot, whatever. And Carly's like, why would she stand like that? And I went, oh yeah, I didn't even fucking realize it. That's so weird to stand like that.
But she says something like, I just want to get out of my house. Like, I'm very hungry.
Oh, we should also really quickly note that her cousin is the loser at school.
Yes.
He's like this creepy dude who is picked on.
Like I meant to say a loner.
He's just like a lawyer, you know, those losers.
Then they go to a diner, which I think is extremely inappropriate. If you have a girlfriend, why are you taking out this new beautiful girl
who you're clearly attracted to, but anyway,
to dinner?
And she is fucking ballsy.
Balls to the walls she is.
She's like literally like, I want you. Yeah. Like to his face, and he's like, I have a girlfriend. She's like, that's fine.
Yeah.
Like,
she's like, I have a boyfriend.
I have a boyfriend back home in New York or whatever. He's going to play for the Mets, which will come back. Well, that'll circle around to that later.
Yeah.
And she's like, but that's okay. We agreed to see other people. And he's like, okay, well, I'm not into that.
Right. He's like, I love my girlfriend. And she's just like, mm-hmm.
But lo and behold, she convinces him to take her to the pool at school, which is insane, but whatever. So inappropriate. She's like, I'm not ready for this night to end. So he goes, okay, let's go to the fucking pool at school and watch me swim.
No, no, no.
What is it?
He goes, I should take you home. Which, by the way, their food just got put down on their table. And then he's like, I think I should take you home. Right. Let the girl finish her meal.
Well, to be fair, I mean, he's making the right decision. But anyway.
Yeah, she's coming onto him hard.
Like,
and then,
literally, she might as well have been naked. But anyway.
Yeah. And then he goes, I think I should take you home. And she says, I'm not ready for this night to be over. And then he says, well, what do you have in mind? Cut to the pool.
Right.
She's watching him swim. So she's clearly like, I want to watch you swim.
Which is the weirdest thing on the planet.
Which, I don't know about you, but do you find it as satisfying as I do to watch him swim?
I do like watching people swim. I think it's really cool.
Yeah.
People who are good at swimming.
Yeah.
I could watch that for a long time.
I know. It's really fun.
But I wouldn't. I mean, I also wouldn't have had the balls in high school. In fact, I do not have the balls now. But I just can't imagine being like, I want to watch you swim.
Well, I would say that. Once again, I relate to the stalker girl.
Yep. Shocking.
I like watching people pursuing their passion.
Yeah, but she's not saying it for that. She's saying it because I'm going to get naked into the pool with
right.
you.
So then,
and I'm going to seduce you. So
she disappears suddenly. And
yeah,
we're
he like
oh,
lifts his
go?
Head above yeah. water and she's now in the pool in her undies.
Bra and undies.
Yeah, her MeUndies. Sponsor yeah. us.
MeUndies. And he's like, whoa, what are you doing, girl?
And she's like, I can't swim. Would you teach me?
Right. So Reality High stole this scene.
Yeah. Hashtag Reality High, you mean.
Hashtag
go on.
Reality
Throwback
High.
To episode 4 or whatever it was.
Yeah, I don't remember.
I think it was episode 5, in fact. But anyway. So she like swims up against him. She starts like kissing him and stuff. And he's like, no, stop. And she's like, you want it or whatever. Anyway, they have sex in the pool.
Yes. It's very pretty explicit for a PG-13
for
movie.
For sure. And she's like, you know, she's convincing him that it's no one's going to know. It's just a
yeah.
whatever. She is an open relationship. He should be in an open relationship. Everyone's in high school. Doop, doop, doop.
And then while they're doing it, she goes, tell me you love me. And he's like, what? And she's like, just say it. I don't care if you don't mean it. And he's like, I love you.
Right. And we watched this with Mike, actually. We didn't even mention that. Mike was in the room with us while we watched it.
Yeah.
And he was like, you can't have sex in the pool! Like, he was very adamant. He really wanted us to know
the logistics. Yeah, he was like, you'll get some virus in your ovaries
yeah,
or something.
Yeah, like, he went in medical Mike. Medical Mike came out, and he was, like, telling us all the do's and don'ts of having sex in a pool or in water yeah. or whatever. So yeah. it was a very educational moment, too, for us.
Well, I knew that you shouldn't have sex in a pool or a hot tub.
Right. But, I mean, Michael really went into... He, like, basically stopped the movie to tell us this.
Yeah. I also never pee in lakes or oceans or anything because of a story. Because
leeches go up your... hoo-ha or whatever?
Leeches. I don't know about that.
That's supposed to be, that's with guys.
Well, I watched a show once where some type of water bug swam up a man's urethra.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Because they swim up the pee.
Well, they're peeing because yeah. it's like open. So none of
oh
that,
my God,
people.
Let me throw the fuck up.
Yeah, I know.
Did you ever pee in pools?
I'm sure I have.
Did you guys ever have the rumor? I'm sure everyone in the world had this rumor where if you pee in a pool, in a certain pool, they might have the like.
Yeah.
What's it called?
Like the blue ink or whatever.
Yeah, it would turn a color.
Right.
And it was, I don't know if that's actually a thing that exists, but I remember being fucking terrified of it.
I'm not very comfortable peeing in a foreign setting. Like, people are like, when we go camping, people are like, let's just go pee in the bushes. And I'm like, I just find it so difficult. Like, I don't know how to squat. I actually have to just fully take off all my clothes.
Your shirt. And-
Because I don't get it. I don't get how people squat. Because I would
taking
just
your hairpins out and everything.
I would just be all over my shorts or whatever. So I had to like fully just take them off.
Oh, Christ.
Anyways.
This has taken a turn for the worst.
Not skilled in that area. That's but okay, fair. So they have sex.
Right.
Then he drops her off and he's like, he feels awkward. He feels bad. And she's like, don't worry. I won't tell anyone. Whatever. She gets out of the car. You think like she's normal. And that he just made a really bad mistake, but things are about to get a lot worse.
Yeah. So someone's having a party. I guess Amy's having a party and he goes, his girlfriend's having a party. He goes and she's like, meet my friend, Erica Christensen. What's her name? Madison. And they act like they've never met. And she's and so they were like, oh, whatever. The girlfriend goes away and she's like, when can I see her? And like, she's,
yeah, she wants it.
She's like ready for this open relationship. And yeah. he's really at this point, from this point onward, after having sex with her, he's out. He does not want to have anything to do with her. And yeah. it, I mean, we don't need to go into the, I mean, unless you have notes and stuff, but we don't have to go into too much details. But basically she's at this party. She's now befriended his girlfriend. Mm-hmm. She's at his house talking mm-hmm. to his mom, bringing his mom flowers. And she's yep. like, oh, honey, when he gets home, she's like, oh, honey, your friend Madison's here. And he's like, that's not my friend.
Yeah.
She's fucking stalking me. And now yeah. she's getting a little creepy.
She's getting a little bit creepy.
Yeah.
And then he says to her, well, what we did was a mistake. And there's this like sound effect that's like, ear, ear. And mm-hmm. then it like closes up on her and her eyes are like all wide and she like looks like she's gonna have a freaking meltdown.
We didn't even talk really quickly because the day after they have sex, or I'm sorry, maybe it's the day after the party. Anyway, someday after something. Yes.
Well, we're missing one key point, is that she takes his keys after he tells her that it was a mistake, and she duplicates his keys to his truck.
Yes. But I was going to even say before that.
Yeah.
Is when, just to establish the name of the movie.
Oh my goodness.
So he goes on to, I don't really know how it works at a school, but anyway, he's on the computer in the library or some shit, and he's on...
Basically MSN,
some sort of instant messaging system, and where you can make your own, it's like a chat room, and you make your own nickname, and her nickname is SwimFan85. That scene was one of my favorites, even though it was like 5 seconds, just because it really brought me back, and I miss MSN, if we've talked about it 1,000 times.
You also made a good point, you made a good catch, that the coach in this movie is...
He's the dad from Clueless. He's Cher Horowitz's dad, Mel Horowitz.
Yeah! Yeah, which was really exciting. I was really impressed, because I was like, how do we know that guy? And you're like, I recognize him too, and then you just thought about it for 4 seconds, and you're like... Cher's dad.
Yeah.
Clueless.
I'm really not good at that normally. So I was very proud of myself, I have to say.
Yeah, that was good.
I was pretty excited. Right. So she steals his keys and she duplicates them, which we don't know yet, but we'll find out later.
But then there's the part at the party. I just wanted to bring this up because it's so awkward when he's basically like, leave me alone. Like, I have a girlfriend.
Right.
What we did was a mistake and I regret it, basically. And then Amy, his girlfriend, is about to go get a video.
Oh, Christ.
She's going to go use his truck to get a video from the video store. And then Madison is like, oh, can I have my panties back?
They're in your car.
And then you cut to the truck and there's these pink panties shoved in the
seat. The passenger seat or whatever. And he like runs. And like literally Amy is about to unlock the door and he like runs. And he's like, yeah, I got to do it. I'll do it. And then, yeah, it's just, she's real desperado, which is great. I mean, she's a great character. Let's be serious.
Never trust a girl who uses the word panties to describe her undies.
Her meundies. Sponsor us.
She has a very round head.
She really does.
She looks like a porcelain doll.
She looks like a porcelain doll. And her lips/mouth look like a porcelain doll. Her nose looks like a porcelain doll. Everything about her I could make into a porcelain doll.
And the way she dresses in this movie is so conservative, mm-hmm. which is really kind of great because she's such a sexual person. And then the way she dresses is like, she doesn't want anyone to see like an inch of her skin.
It's weird. Did your school have a swim team?
No.
Oh, we had a swim team.
Were they good?
Well, we had this guy named Marius who he transferred from South Africa in grade, I want to say grade 9. I hope he listens to this because it's creepy that I remember all these details. But anyway, he transferred. I just remember this so clearly because he transferred in grade 9 to our school. And it was a big deal because he had a very strong accent. We didn't have anyone from school who had any sort of accent.
Okay.
So everyone was obsessed with him. But anyway, he was a really, really good swimmer. I never went to any of the meets or anything. But I remember sometimes we would go into the pool and like watch people.
Yeah.
But it didn't last very long. It wasn't that exciting, to be honest. Because it's very in those kind of scenarios.
Yeah.
It's very like screaming and splashing and smells gross. And
yeah.
And you're not really, you can't really, there's too many things happening at once. So you can't really pay attention. And everyone's.
Yeah.
So it's not as fun as it looked in the movie. But anyway, we did have a swim team.
She then sends him 84 attachments.
81.
81, sorry.
81 emails.
81 emails, which are nudes of her.
Mm-hmm.
With her little 2002 camera.
Oh,
and she's
amazing.
Taking pictures in the bathroom mirror. It's
like the original selfie.
Yeah. And so it's getting a little intense here.
Yeah, she gets a little...
She's not taking no for an answer.
No.
And Ben is getting a little cranky. He's starting not to swim as good. He's being kind of mean to Amy. He, even at work with the pervert old man, the old man's like, hey there, can't tell me about your girlfriend, what are her boobs like?
Yeah, and he's like, I don't have time. Like, he just is getting clearly distracted. His whole world is now revolving around trying to figure out how to get out of this situation that he is now embedded in.
So he gives the old man the medication, and lo and behold. So this part made me kind of laugh, because... So he gives the old man medication,
mm-hmm.
and then immediately afterwards, a huge alarm goes off within seconds of him taking the medication. This red light is flashing. There's a big noise in the hallway. All the doctors and staff at the hospital are running towards this room.
I also don't remember in any hospital, at least in any of the medical dramas that I've watched, that something happens to someone and alarms go off in the fucking
hospital.
That
would happen every 2 seconds in the hospital.
Like, as if a fire is happening.
Yeah, they're like, code red, code red. They're all, like, everyone's running.
Yeah.
And then this old man's just like, this is the wrong medication.
And he's fine. In the end, but whatever.
So then they're
code red.
They're like, you're fired because the medication was not correct. That is not Ben's fault.
Yeah.
Whoever is in charge of putting the medication into the little cups,
yeah,
they should be getting fired, not mm-hmm. Ben. Even though we know secretly it's probably Madison. Although I don't understand how.
At the end, he goes into her room and she's got a doctor's cloak or whatever they're called. What are they called? Doctor.
Yeah, like a coat,
a doctor's coat. A lab coat.
Lab coat.
And it's got like a little name tag that says medical. Whatever. So clearly it implies she had something to do with it. So we find that out later.
Which is fine. I don't know how she would have gotten that coat, but it doesn't matter. The point is, I don't know in what scenario she had time to sneak in, change the medication, even though he was pushing the cart the whole time.
Yeah.
It doesn't really make any sense.
It's also a little bit of a silly... because there's a lot of things that she does to start framing him for things. And that's just one that was a little unnecessary.
Well, because I was thinking, okay, say I had a stalker and I worked at a hospital where I gave medication out. If one of the patients got really sick because the medication was wrong, my first thought isn't, oh, it's because my stalker switched them up. It would be, oh, the person that I got the medication from messed up.
Right.
But instead, Ben, he runs into the school where she's playing cello. He throws her cello down in the middle of her playing and starts choking her.
Yeah,
and it's been a little... I know what you did. That is quite the assumption.
Yes, that's true. He does go from 0 to 100 real fucking quick.
Like, it probably was her, but I'm just saying...
It was her.
But I'm just saying...
Yeah.
That's a really big jump
for
him to make.
Yeah.
To start choking her and being like, I know that you switched the medication.
And it's not even like he goes up to her and he's like, I know you did this. He goes up and, like, literally assaults her.
He literally starts anyway. Choking her and she's like...
But there's a couple things that happen of that nature. So she starts dating his best friend, the other swimmer guy.
Josh, who I'm pretty sure is from A Walk to Remember.
So she starts dating him, and at the swim meet, so it's finally the meet, like, with the scouts, and he's going to maybe go to, you know, Stanford or whatever the hell it is. And as soon as he's about to dive in the pool, like, he's literally fucking at the ready, and they come and they tap him on the shoulder and they're like, your drug test came back positive, or whatever it is that he had steroids in the system. And
we never find out how she did that.
We don't know how, but he accuses his friend on the swim team and he's like, you fucking helped her, because now they're dating.
Right.
He's like, I don't know what you're talking about. And the next thing we know, the friend is dead.
They're in the car, they're making out, and Madison says,
oh god, you're right.
Oh, Ben.
Yeah, as they're making out, she says Ben's name.
And then Josh is like, what? You just said Ben?
And he's like, yo, he was right. Like, you're a crazy fucking psychotic stalker.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Then he's dead in the pool.
Yeah.
But it's made to seem that Ben did it. Because Ben's the one who finds him, which is insane.
Yeah.
Because Ben's swimming in the pool, normal, and then swims into his friend's body. But it's like, why didn't you to his butt? Why didn't you notice that when you jumped into the pool?
Yeah,
but
there would be blood all over.
There'd be blood. There's also a body.
Yeah,
in the pool.
Also, Mike made a really good point. Like, what is this place? There's no lifeguard. Do they just have keys to a community pool?
It's very true. No, I think it's their school pool.
They just have keys to the school.
Yeah, it is weird. Mike was very, again, adamant about this, because these are things he knows, because he played water polo, remember? So he was like, there has to be a lifeguard on all times, even in the Olympics, blah, blah, blah. He's like, any pool has to have a lifeguard all times.
And there would at least be a video camera.
There'd be a lot of things that they don't have. But you're right. How would they get in and out? They don't have keys, assuming they don't have keys. Maybe they do, which is a really weird thing for students to have. But anyway.
And then the girl, Amy, finds out, which this also bothers me. They do, like, a music montage, and it shows Amy finding out about him sleeping with Madison.
Right.
We have no idea how she finds out. Because he doesn't tell her, because he walks up to her and she's crying.
Yeah, I mean, I bet you it's like Madison put one of her nudes in his locker or something. Like, there's a lot of things she could have done. But you're right, they don't actually say how she found out. But she finds out, and they obviously break up.
There's a lot of unanswered questions in this movie.
There are, but the important ones are answered, I guess.
Well...
So then Ben goes to her house to try to investigate and see what the hell is wrong with this crazy bitch. And the cousin is there.
Yeah.
He starts kind of helping him a little bit.
Yeah.
So they kind of become on the same side. Meanwhile, what's her name again? Madison dresses up as Ben, and by that I mean puts on like his swimming hat or whatever the fuck it is, like,
a cat.
No, no, like I'm saying like a hat that's like clearly his, like a baseball hat.
Oh, I see.
And like his Letterman jacket for swimming or whatever swimming the fuck. And she now has his car keys, right? Because remember, callback, she crappies them. Yeah. So she then runs over his girlfriend. Okay, which is such an extreme thing.
I have something to say, but when he breaks into the house, he finds a box full of his things, like his goggles and pictures of
him.
No,
he doesn't break in. The cousin comes to, like, help him.
Well, he comes through the window. He climbs up and goes through the window. That's breaking
in. Oh, Christ. What am I even doing? Oh, she's downstairs playing. I fucked it all up. So, I've really fucked this up.
He crawls in through the window while she's downstairs playing cello for 8 old ladies, which I'm confused by that.
Yeah, it's a little weird.
Well, who is that? Is that her church group? Like...
Yeah.
I don't understand who she's playing for in her own house.
It's really strange. And she's also facing away from them. I don't know if you noticed. I'm pretty sure. It's really weird.
Why is she always facing away from people?
It's really fucking weird. So the cousin catches Ben upstairs looking through the stuff. And you're right.
I have something to say about this.
Yes. Sorry. Go ahead. He finds the box.
Yeah. So I remember during this part, I was like, that's what I would do.
Yeah. So he finds this shoebox under her bed of like... every clipping, every newspaper clipping about him,
yeah,
a pair of his swimming goggles, which is insane.
Yeah.
Swimming like cap? His swimming cap, his toenails, like literally everything are in this box. And Carly immediately is like, that's something I would do.
Well, here's the truth. In grade 10, I had a boyfriend for 3 months, which mm-hmm. I've mentioned a couple times. Mm-hmm. And I had a box just like the ones we have our movies in.
Yeah.
And it was called the Jamie box. And his name was Jamie. Also, I'm not entirely sure his name was Jamie or James.
I'm obsessed that you don't know.
I didn't even know at the time.
Oh my God, I can't.
I was unsure. So I switched it up. I'd be like, Jamie. And then other times I'd be like, James. Oh, he never corrected me. So I never knew.
Jamie/James, please let us know what your name is.
I don't have him on any social media. I don't even know where he is now. So I wouldn't have a clue how to find him. But... with all that to say, inside the box was like all sorts of pictures of him. Mm. It would be like his favorite band. It would be like a CD. It would be concerts we went to or movies we went to. Anything that had to do with him. It would be like, a receipt from McDonald's that we got a medium fry.
Right.
I put in this box. A crazy person.
I mean, I have all that stuff too, but it's not like a box specific too. Oh. But every single date I have 400 shoeboxes in the back here in the basement of like every single thing I've ever gone to, but it wasn't specific to a person. It's just like everything I went. Right. I went here with Kirsty. I went here with Sarah. I went here with Mike. I went here with this person. Like it's all over.
So then he picks up a picture in the box that she has taped a photo of her beside him, so it looks like they're a couple.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was in grade 8, my friend Kirsty and I were the only two people that had a digital camera. They were very, very new at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And we found some program where you could basically Photoshop stuff, but it wasn't Photoshop.
Right.
So whoever we had a crush on, we both Photoshopped photos of ourselves.
I love this.
Onto them. Mm-hmm. And the one of me and this guy, he was this really cute skater boy. His name was Aaron O'Toole. Shout out to Aaron O'Toole. Really cute. Hope you're well. I Photoshopped myself. Like, it looked like I was... had my shoulder or my head on his shoulder.
Oh, my God.
And it looked so real. And I would look at that picture often, and it would actually bring me a sense of joy, even though I knew it wasn't real. I'd be like, wow, it looks so real.
That's amazing.
Isn't that kind of psychotic?
It's a little psychotic. I was going to say, I wrote down a story too. It's similar, but not as psychotic. I have Photoshop pictures of me and Jason Segel.
Oh, yeah. I've seen that. That looks real too.
And so I put up a picture. This is more university though, to be fair. But I was obsessed and still am obsessed with Jason Segel. I love him. And I posted it as my Facebook picture. And people were like, oh my God, when did you meet him? Blah, 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 blah. Yeah. And... I was like, and I thought it was so great. I was so proud. I since have 3. So I have 3 in total of me with Jason Segel photoshopped.
Yeah.
And I think they're pretty good, but it's not as creepy because like he's a celebrity. So, I mean, it's still not creepy, I guess, but.
Yeah. I mean, it looks pretty real. Like my mom thought that was real. But at this point in the movie, we also find out about Jerry O'Connell or whatever his name is.
His name is Jake.
O'Donnell?
O'Donnell, I am pretty sure. So the cousin starts... I'm sorry. So while he's while Ben is looking in this box of creepy things, yeah. the cousin kind of runs into him, and they're not necessarily friends yet, but then Madison comes up, and she's about to catch them, but the cousin kind of, like, hides Ben. And this is where it establishes that the cousin's going to help her. Help him, because Madison comes in and she's like, do you have company? Like, who are you talking to? And he's staying there by himself because Ben is hiding. And she's like, of course not. You have no friends. And then, like, goes away.
I know. She's such a bitch.
So she's so horrible to her cousin. So then he's like, I'm going to help this guy. So somehow, I don't even remember what happens, but he gets him to go and he finds out about Jake O'Donnell or whatever his name is. And this is the guy that's waiting, and I'm putting this air quotes, waiting for Madison back in NYC and who's going to go play for the Mets. And he's in a coma. Like, he's on life support, basically.
Yeah, so it doesn't say, but we're assuming she did something to him.
Yeah, so he goes to visit this kid in, like, his, it's not even a hospital, it's like a
home,
I guess. Yeah. And there's, like, a nurse and everything, and she's like, oh, his girlfriend Madison is just expecting him to get up and come see her again or whatever. So he realizes that this guy is someone that she had a prior obsession with, I think, as well, and got him in a coma and then convinced them that they were boyfriend girlfriend, like she was an acceptable
girlfriend.
So you
don't think they were ever actually boyfriend girlfriend?
No, I think it was the same kind of situation.
Okay.
Except then he ended up in a coma and wasn't able to say, no, this is not my girlfriend. That's what I think.
So what's the psychology behind this, though? Because this kind of thing happens in Get Out, where you find all these different pictures of mm-hmm. black guys that she's dated, but you find out the horrific reason why she only dates black guys, right? Mm-hmm. In this movie, you find out she only has a thing for these top high school athletes.
I mean, that's a thing constantly.
But I just don't get, like, I don't understand why she's so gravitated towards athletes and why she gets obsessed with athletes.
She has obviously a problem, and she becomes obsessed with athletes who are going to become something, like, right? She says he's going to play for the Mets, and Ben's character presumably is going to be the next Michael Phelps, or
right.
the before Michael Phelps, because Michael Phelps wasn't a thing in 2002 yet, I don't think.
I don't know.
So she becomes obsessed with this person, probably does a very similar thing to Jake that she did with Ben in terms of, like, seducing him but then creeping him out, and he tries to get out of the situation, and then he it foreshadows his what's going to happen to him he doesn't do something about it. I don't know why it's athletes, but it's the same with celebrity stalkers. Like, they get obsessed with Rihanna, and then the next thing you know, they're obsessed with Miley Cyrus, and it's just how they're obsessed. It's just how they are. I don't know.
I guess I just was hoping for a reason. Like, maybe her dad was a football player who, like, neglected her or something. I don't know. I wanted some back. Like, you don't really get a backstory with her.
No.
I want to know why she's crazy. It's a little confusing because then she thinks she sees him at the hospital, and she chases after him, and she's like, Jake! Jake!
Yeah.
And she's all, like, excited.
Hold on. So she's at this point, sorry, she's at the hospital because she ran over the girlfriend. We've skipped a whole part. So she stole Ben's car with the copied keys that we kind of brought up before, and she runs over the girlfriend, and she's now in the hospital. She's fine, but she's in the hospital. And so she's there, presumably to, like, really finish the deed or whatever.
Yeah.
She's dressed up in her doctor gown or whatever the hell it is. And she's, like, literally outside of her room about to go and kill her. And on the paging system, it says, Jake O'Donnell to the nurse's station. Jake O'Donnell to the nurse's station. And then she is obviously, I mean, it's a pretty common name,
yeah.
so it's a little stupid that she even thinks anything of it, but whatever. She goes over to the nurse's station. She sees a man in his exact outfit, so she goes, that's him. It's far away, right? So way down the hall.
Yeah.
Starts chasing after him. She chases so far after him into the parking lot. She goes, Jake! Turns out it's her cousin dressed up. And then Ben comes out of nowhere and attacks her and is, like, about to strangle her. She confesses. And then this random character that we saw for 1.1 seconds the beginning of the movie is now the most important character in the movie, and she's holding a video camera recording this entire thing.
Yes.
So, problem solved. So the police come, they realize that Ben didn't do any of the things they thought he did. They thought he killed his best friend. They thought he ran over his girlfriend. They thought he had steroids. They thought he did this. They thought he did that. Turns out none of it was him. They take her in the cop car, and they're stopped at a train crossing. And the cop in the back seat, which I don't understand why he's in the back seat.
I know.
Anyway,
why is he sitting beside her in the back seat?
One cop's driving, one cop's in the back seat with Erica Christensen. And he spills his coffee and he's like, ooh, and he's all flustered. And then she fucking steals his gun.
What a weird, like,
it just went from 0 to 100. That's something that happens in this movie a lot. 0 to 100 real quick.
And she shoots them.
And I guess, yeah.
Yeah.
And then
steals anyway, their cop car.
She, I don't even remember what happens after this.
Well, here's what happens is she she kidnaps
the girlfriend,
Amy, who.
So Ben's mom is a nurse. So I guess she goes to live with them for a bit so she can be in constant care.
I guess so.
So Ben is now home with Amy and his mother. Madison comes, knocks the mom out, and kidnaps the girlfriend.
The girlfriend is fully awake. And
like
she's
a full size.
And she's
human.
Not like.
She's not paralyzed.
She's probably kicking and screaming while this girl's. Like, it would be so hard to abduct someone of the same weight as you and height.
Yeah. So she abducts her. So she takes her to the school pool. Again, she somehow has a key. She's not even a fucking swimmer, but anyway, fine. I guess she did copy his keys or whatever.
And then she pages. Ben
like
has
on
a pager.
On a pager, yeah.
This is a big, big deal. Ben has a pager. And she pages him. Feel like a dip.
So he goes to the pool, and Amy is tied to an office. No, I'm sorry. She's not tied. She has handcuffs on to an office chair that is sunk to the bottom of the pool.
Yeah. There's a lot of things that would need to have happened. She would have needed to get that chair out of her car, then get Amy out of the car without her running off. And, like, somehow strap her down to handcuff her.
And then push her in the pool. Like, there's so many. And also, we all argued, we're like, that chair would. So he dives in and tries to lift the chair up. And we're like.
And he can't do it.
It's like a million pounds, which I'm not saying it would necessarily be easy. I can understand it being a little awkward. But
it would be easy.
No, I don't think it would be easy.
Because in water, it wouldn't be obviously the same weight. So he would just
have
to
push it up. No, I understand
that.
But I just mean it'd still be a little awkward. But it's as though it weighs a million pounds.
Yeah.
Anyway, he gets her out of the chair because he's got the bobby pin still
that
she told him to keep.
He pulls the bobby pin out of his jean pocket while he's swimming and helps to unhook the handcuffs.
So he does that, which is great. Frees her, pulls Madison into the pool. And as we remember, she can't swim. So she drowns. Great. The end. I have a question for you, though, really quickly. So this kind of goes with, so he's saving his girlfriend and he clearly knows first aid and swimming tactics and shit. Did you ever take swimming lessons in high school and junior high and stuff?
I took swimming lessons when I was a child and hated it. It would be on Sunday mornings and I would cry. I would be so upset that I had to go to swimming lessons. In fact, cut to when I'm about 12 and I'm at a big university swimming pool. And my mom is watching me swim around during, like, a free swim with friends. And I have some kind of panic attack.
Oh, no.
Where I suddenly forget how to swim.
Oh, that's terrifying.
And I start to drown.
No.
And I'm splashing around. And a lifeguard had to jump in and save me.
I got saved one time, too.
You did?
Yep.
Oh, my gosh. I was so embarrassed. What happened with you?
I don't really remember the details. I just remember. I think similar. Like, I took swimming lessons. Now, that being said, I took swimming lessons up until I was, like, 18. Like,
oh,
I
did you?
Yeah, like, and by swimming lessons, I mean we did, maybe not 18, that's a little bit excessive, but certainly, like, 15 or 16, where it went to bronze cross, bronze medallion to become a lifeguard and shit.
So you're a good swimmer.
I'm a good swimmer, but I'm not, it was more of the, my issue became, I didn't care about the swimming, that was fine, I love swimming. It was more of the, like, okay, now let's practice CPR, and you walk around the body, the dead body, and you go, no fire, no wire, no gas, no glass, look up, look down, look all around. You're looking for emergencies, and then you have to work on, oh, this person has a cut, this person has a broken bone, how do you get them out of the pool? Like, fuck that. So, but what I wanted to say is, I was fine with swimming lessons for a long time, and then it got to the point where it was bronze cross, bronze medallion. I think you're 16 or so in that. I don't really remember. And those are the things before you become a lifeguard.
Yeah.
And I went with my friend Kat and we would do this. It was the point where it was like, you know, 2 weekends. It would be like 6 hours each day for 2 weekends.
Yeah.
And you got the course or whatever.
Yeah.
And I remember we're at the age where you're like 16. I don't want to be in a bathing suit in front of people, especially strangers. And there's guys there who are older, like not that much older, but usually like they're 17 or 18. Mm-hmm. And you have to get partnered up, because of course I was never partnered up with Catherine, my friend. And it was like, okay, Maddie, you have to go be partnered with Paul, and you have to go and he's going to pretend to drown. You have to go and lift him out of the pool and then give him pretend mouth to mouth. And it didn't even have to be an attractive person. It wasn't anything to do with that. It was just like, I don't want to do this to another human being at 16.
Yeah.
And I'm sure he doesn't want it either. Like, it was just horrible. And I remember quickly quitting after that. It was a horrible thing because you have to give them CPR. And now that's fine if it, for a girl doing it on a guy. The other way around, I would imagine they feel so uncomfortable because they have to find your, like, whatever this bone is on your chest.
Yeah.
And you're, so it's right where your ribs connect. I can't remember what it's called.
Sternum?
I think so, yeah. And then you have
to go.
Yes, my scrotum. Your sternum, and you have to find, you have to go 2 inches above. Mm-hmm. So they're right on your tits at this point. Their hands are right on your boobs, and you're 16 and 17.
Yeah.
And they are wearing very thin swim shorts. And they're supposed to just be completely normal. Everyone's supposed to act like this is the most normal thing in the world.
Yeah.
And anyway, it was, I hated it so much. Anyway.
Sounds terrible.
I was not worried about what the guys are doing or what the girls are doing. I was worried about trying to figure out how I can swim. I didn't need to be look gorgeous at all. I just needed to not look like a toe.
A toe.
So I was more concerned on how many minutes we had left.
Right.
And how can I get out of here fast?
Yeah. There should be some kind of thing like moving forward, because I think most girls, especially at that age, are uncomfortable in a bathing suit. And if you want to pursue
swimming lessons... And a lot of guys, too. A lot of guys.
I'm sure. Oh, yeah. There were always the guys who wore t-shirts.
Oh, yeah.
And I felt so bad because they were clearly self-conscious of, like, whether it was because of their weight or because they had acne on their chest or something. And I always felt so bad for these people that... And I think it should be, like, a rule, especially if you're trying to pursue swimming... Everyone should have to wear like a wetsuit or something.
Yeah, I agree.
So you're not worried about your boobs falling out. You're not worried about your new pubes that are growing in. You're not worried about your acne. No, but that was the thing. Like, I was always so self-conscious in a bikini because I was like, I just was like, oh my gosh, it'd be so embarrassing if like you can see something like, because like I have dark hair. I mean, now I have it lasered off, so.
Oh, we're really getting into the.
Well, all right. But I was always self-conscious of that, right? So that was a huge part of why I didn't like to swim as a high schooler. So I'd be like...
Oh, I totally... Like, it, everything about it was... Also, I mean, and this is something shocking. We all know Maddie loves to talk. But in those situations, I did not. And when we would have to do...
You did not what?
Like to talk.
Oh.
And I wanted to chat about other things, of course. But when I, like, when we would do the out of the pool stuff, where it would be the... Let's practice CPR or let's practice this. And it was like tests.
Yeah.
And okay, Maddie, we're all going to sit here and watch you perform CPR on this person. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to do that.
And you have to like bend over him and stuff.
And the thing is, it's a lot different if it was for school where it was a grade. It got to the point where I was like, this is not important enough for me to care about.
Yeah.
For me to risk my like mental state.
Would you have pursued it further if you could have, everyone was wearing a wetsuit?
I mean, not necessarily yes, if there was some sort of like, if we all wore a baggy dress or something, like, I don't know, if there was something that I didn't have to, like, if we all wore a baggy uniform of some, because wetsuit would still accentuate all the things I don't want to accentuate, but
it's kind of hard to swim when things are baggy.
Yeah, I know. If there was some sort of, I just remember because Kat also, love her, she's still one of my closest people. It would be like, okay, we're doing a swim class. And I'd be like, please let me be partnered with Kat. But she was more interested in being partnered with a cute guy and stuff.
I see.
Because she's such an outgoing, she has the most gorgeous face in the world. And like, she's so funny and has cute fucking freckles. Like, she's adorable.
Yeah.
And she was more interested in partnering with the cute guy. And I was like... All right, I'll just be partnered with the teacher or worse, this strange person I don't know. But anyway, so I just wanted to get out of that scenario in total. I got to the second last level.
Wow.
So I think it's bronze something, bronze medallion, bronze cross. I don't know what it is.
I'm legit a bad swimmer. And there was a time where I know I just said I almost drowned in a pool, but I didn't almost drown because there was lifeguards everywhere.
Right.
But there was a time when I was a teenager where I was tubing with the boy that I liked. Okay. Oh my. And this was a church thing. So our church leader brought us to her home for the weekend, and she lived in a beautiful home on the lake. So it was pretty sick. Like, her basement was like, had like a theater and stuff. Mm-hmm. So she takes us tubing. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I go on with the guy I like, and we're not wearing life jackets, first of all.
Okay, there's your first problem.
So, this woman who was our church leader was odd. There's no question about it. I knew she was, even at that age, but she was, like, cool. So, we were like, whatever, she seems cool. So, she's driving the boat around and going pretty fast, and we hit a huge wave, and we fall off, okay? Mm-hmm. And she thinks it's a funny joke to... drive back to the cottage and leave us in the middle of the lake.
Oh,
we're not wearing life jackets. So I think she's going to come back soon, but she doesn't. She never comes back. So I'm there out there with this guy And I'm like, I'm not a good swimmer. I don't know what to do. And he was like, swim on your back.
Okay.
And I was like, okay. And but I'm panicking.
Mm-hmm.
As you do. So I'm like on my back and I'm like, I don't know how long I can do this. Like, it's far.
Oh my God.
And he luckily was a really, really good swimmer. And he basically dragged me and made sure I didn't drown.
Holy shit.
And then we get back to the cottage. I'm so tired. I get out and I'm like, oh, pretty God. shaken up. And I get back in there. They're like, everyone's just like cooking burgers and having dinner. Like, where have you been? And I was like, are you serious? We swam all the way back. And then the church lady is like laughing. She's like, ah, you guys.
You almost died. Can you imagine?
I almost died.
Can you just imagine for one moment, and thank God this did not happen, but can you imagine something worse had happened and then she had to go to your fucking mom and dad and be like, excuse me, sorry.
I know.
I played a trick. I'm a church leader. I played a trick on a girl.
That was a crazy, crazy, crazy
day. That's insane. It's pretty good. So what would you rate the movie?
I would rate this movie a 6.5.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I would say about 7.
Okay.
6.5. Yeah, 7. I say 7.
Okay.
Who'd you relate to the most? I think we know.
Well, I guess the stalker girl. But I relate to the stalker girl because of her. She likes to cut out clippings of mm-hmm. the guys that she likes and keep things mm-hmm. as memories. But I don't know. What about you?
I relate to the girl at the end who's holding the video camera because I was holding a video camera for most of high school.
Yeah, and she didn't really speak.
Yep. That part's not accurate.
And for 6 Degrees of Leo.
Right.
I'm going to do this. Jesse Bradford was in Bring It On
mm-hmm.
with Kirsten Dunst,
mm-hmm.
who was in Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind
mm-hmm.
with Kate Winslet.
Oh, who was, everything just goes back to Katie, eh?
Who was when
a little
Titanic,
movie called Titanic
and Revolutionary Road.
Cool. So thanks for listening to this episode of Teenage Dirtbags. You can follow us on Instagram at Teenage Dirtbags with a Z. No, that's not right. Teenage Dirtbags Podcast with a Z.
Yep.
Wait, did I say that right? Fuck it. You know what it is. And our Twitter is Podcast Teenage, where we don't post anything. But maybe we'll start if we have people following. I don't know if people use Twitter, but whatever. Who cares? YOLO.
YOLO.
420 Blaze It.
Bye.
Bye.